This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.
Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you today for all that you've done. And it's only because of what you've done that we can be free, that we can consider ourselves found when we once were lost. And so we lift you up this morning in praise, in prayer, in giving, and through the preaching and teaching of God's word. Be with Brother Cal as he brings the word to us this morning. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Good morning. I've had a great week. It's been crazy busy, but started off Monday. At Good News Club, we saw three of the young ladies pray to receive Christ. That was a great start. And then in a powerful prayer meeting up at the Red River Meeting House where the Second Great Awakening started with 14 or 15 pastors and about 25 or 30 lay people. And we just had a powerful time. Thursday night, I preached revival up in Caskey Baptist Church out in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. And I want to tell you, I pulled up in there, and that church is alive. Anybody lives up there but farmers. But there was young people everywhere, kids all over the place. And then I didn't know, Andrew, I didn't know any of the songs they sang. But it was okay. Because, I mean, they were alive, and they were singing. And, man, it was a great revival meeting. And then... I was at Lauren and I were at Vacation Bible School training yesterday. I'm so excited about what God's going to do with Vacation Bible School. But I'm even more excited with what God wants to do right here this morning. Half of you didn't come with a sense of expectation or anticipation because you would have exploded when I said that. You need to get prayed up and preached up and stored up long before you ever get here on Sunday morning. Amen? All right, if you've got a copy of God's Word, we're in Romans chapter 12. I've been, what? My sound folks are trying to tell me, what? Just say it. Not yet. Let me have about three or four sentences. I want to read the Word of God first, okay? Let's stand. We're going to read Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've been in this for 4 weeks in these two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will prove what is that good, acceptable, and pleasing will of God. Father, bless the reading, bless the teaching, bless the preaching of your word today. Thank you so much, God, for what you're going to do ahead of time. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. We've looked at surrendering our bodies to the Lord. We've looked at 2 weeks ago. Last week we looked at surrendering our minds to the Lord. And this morning we're looking at surrendering our will to the Lord. And this one may be the most difficult of all. But we got to get to the point where we understand God's will is what's best for us. Everything. He is infinite and we're finite. He's got a bigger, better plan for us than we do. Far better. He's got all the wisdom. He's got all the knowledge. He's got all the power. He's got everything. He's got all the grace, all the mercy, everything. And so he's got a will for your life and for mine. Watch now. Watch this video, Tony Evans. How many of you know Pastor Tony Evans? Whoo, watch this.
Surrender is simply yes. Not my will, thy will be done. It's like the story of the chicken and the pig. They're going down the street one day. They come to a grocery store. There's a sign in the window. It says, bacon and eggs desperately needed. The chicken looks at the pig. The pig looks at the chicken. And the chicken says to the pig, pig, let's go help out the grocer. I'll give him the eggs. You give him the bacon. Pig say, you crazy. Chicken said, what's the problem? Pig said, it's real simple. For you, it's a contribution. For me, it's the whole thing. Most of us don't mind giving God an egg here and an egg there. Here, an egg there, an egg everywhere, an egg, egg. We'll give God a little something, something. We'll give God an egg and an egg and an egg because you can lay an egg and walk away. But God wants chitlins, pork chops, ham hocks. He wants the whole pig. And to give God bacon, you can't do that without giving up you. We are afraid like the pig. If I give God the bacon, there'll be nothing left.
Wasn't that good? And so I want to talk to you this morning about giving your will to God, because His will is the best you can get. So we're going to just unpack this last part of verse 2, and then we're going to, for application purposes, we're going to go over to Jeremiah 29, back and forth between Romans 12 and Jeremiah 29. Is that okay? Even if it's not okay, that's what we're going to do. And so y'all follow with me. You need to be finding Jeremiah 29. Just keep your thumb there. But let me just read this again. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about that last Sunday. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. Let's break that down. First of all, God's will is profitable. God's will is prosperous. God's will bless you. God's will give you His very, very best. That word good speaks of not only what's good, not only what's better, but what's best. God has a bigger, better plan for you than you've got for yourself. And God's will is prosperous. It'll bless you. It'll do things for you that you never dreamed of. And I know what some of y'all are thinking right now. Well, Brother Cale, I'm not sure about doing God's will because He may call me to the mission field. Or even worse, He may call me to do what you're doing. God's will might be hard. Let me just let you in on a secret. Whatever God calls you to, He will supply you for. I don't know if they got it. Did y'all get it? Whatever God calls you to, He will supply you for. He's got unlimited resources. He owns not only all the cattle, He owns all the hills. He'll take care of everything that He's calling you to do. And it is best for you. It'll prosper you. God's will is something really, really special. And I'm praying that everybody in this church house this morning would surrender completely to God's will. What kind of church would this be if we did? Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, woo! We got a bunch of Ric Flairs in here this morning. All right, turn with me to Jeremiah 29 in the way of application. Now, Jeremiah 29. And we're going to be in verses 10 through 14. Now, the background for this passage, the children of Israel had been in major sin for years and years and years. And God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet. He had tried to use king after king after king to get through to the nation of Israel. They were in deep sin, in idolatry and immorality. And over again, God's calling them to get right with Him, to repent and turn from their wickedness and their evil and their sinful ways. But they didn't listen. And so in 597 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and the Babylonians came to Jerusalem, and I mean, they wiped things. I mean, they tore down the city. They burned the temple. They killed a lot of the Jewish folks that lived in Jerusalem and their surrounding areas. And then they hauled off several thousand, took them back to Babylon with them. And these folks were prisoners. They were in exile. They were outcast. They had no home. They had no job. They didn't know where their families were. They were separated from them. They were outcast. They're foreigners in a strange land, 600 miles from home. And they had lost all hope. They didn't feel like they had any kind of future. They didn't have peace. But then God moved on the prophet Jeremiah. He said, I want you to send them a letter. Are y'all ready for this? Watch this. For thus says the Lord, Jeremiah 29:10. After 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. And so what God, Jeremiah sent this letter to the exiles in Babylon. He says, after 70 years, after judgment, I'm going to bring you back home to your homeland. I promise you this. That was his plan. God hadn't forgotten about them. And I want to tell you, you keep your eye on Israel today. God has not forgotten about his ancient people. And he's still gathering them back home so that they can meet their Messiah. Woo! And so watch this. Here's the verse I want you to get. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. In other words, he's telling him, I hadn't forgotten about you. I know where you are. As a matter of fact, I put you where you are. This is my plan. This is my purpose for you right now, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, here's folks who don't have any hope. They're exiled in a strange foreign land. They don't know where half of their families are, whether they're dead or alive. They're in Babylon. And they're outcasts. They're enemies of the Babylonians. And yet there they are in Babylon. God had forgotten about them. They'd lost all hope. They felt like they didn't have any future. And they certainly didn't have any peace. And so God told Jeremiah, you tell them I hadn't forgotten about them. I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I've got a will for the nation of Israel. And let me just say that. Let me just park on that great truth right now. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who you've done it with. It doesn't matter. All that stuff is, you know, all that stuff is immaterial. God loves you. He is not mad at you. He's not angry at you. He simply has a will, a plan, a purpose for your life. Did y'all hear that here in this section? God's got a purpose. He's got a plan. And he's thinking good thoughts towards you, not evil thoughts. And he has a plan, and it's going to prosper you. Now, I don't believe in prosperity preaching, but there's other ways that God can prosper you that are better than this right here. And by the way, every country in the Bible that got a lot of this wound up going the opposite direction from God. So sometimes money is not good, but wherever you are, let me say that to this crew over here. JD, Betty, even at our stage of the game, God's still got a will for us each and every day. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what the devil's done for you and with you. God wants to use all of us in here for his glory. Give him praise in the house. And we're all trophies of God's grace. So God's will is profitable. It's prosperous. And you can't find anything any better than God's will. Oh, but he may take me to the Dominican Republic. You know what? When I look at those pictures of y'all's kids down there, God is prospering the Rainey family. It's amazing. And Mike and Donna, y'all accomplished what God wanted you to do with those kids. Amen. You raised them to leave. And that's what they've done, literally. And they are you being used for the glory of God. He had a will and a plan for Wade and for Casey and those grandchildren. Hallelujah. And then you know what God did? God brought the other daughter home. The other daughter, the one daughter, the number one daughter, brought them home. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And it's a good plan. It's profitable for you. It'll prosper you. It may be beyond something you ever even thought. But I want to tell you, God's at work. God's at work. Now look at this second point here. Let's go back to Romans. Y'all with me? All right. That you may prove, what is that good and what's that next word? Do you know what acceptable means? It means pleasing. Pleasing. God's will is pleasing. It's not only profitable, it's pleasing. You'll be so glad when you walk out of here today that you have surrendered to God's will. You'll be like my grandmama Hampton used to say, you'll be pleased as punch. And you'll smole a smile. Did y'all get that one? You'll be tickled to death. Because you're going to be in the center of God's will. God's will is pleasing. Well, I don't know how God does it, but at every avenue, every text, every sermon, every Bible study, everything that's going on here, it seems like for the last 2 years it comes back to prayer. We had four people say amen, and that's the problem. We're missing out on prayer. I love you enough to give you the gospel truth. We need to become a praying people. And that involves not only praying alone by yourself with God in your prayer closet, that involves praying together with other believers. Watch this. Look at this. Look at verse 12 in Jeremiah 29. He says, I've got thoughts of peace for you, not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Amen. Woo! Would you like to have your prayers heard? Amen. Do what he's telling you to do right here. And verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with. And then he says there in verse 14, I will be found by you. Oh! I'm going to give you one of them triple dog promises from the Word of God. If you go after God with all of your heart, if you'll seek His face with everything that you've got and open up your heart to Him, you'll leave that meeting knowing what the will of God is for you that day. I know it's true. And I will be found by you. If you'll seek me and pray and come after me with your whole heart, I'll not only listen to you, you'll find me. And let me tell you, when you find yourself face to face with the Lord Almighty, it's going to be real pleasing for you unless you're in sin. And then it's going to be woodshed time. But wouldn't you like to know? You know, I hear this all the time. Daniel, I'll have church members walk up to me and say, how do you know what God's will is? Well, brothers and sisters, listen to your pastor. Listen to the preacher this morning. That's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. It's God's responsibility to reveal His will to you. It's simply our responsibility to be willing to do whatever He's wanting us to do. And so as we're seeking Him with all of our heart, and we're asking Him, God, tell me, not my will, but Thy will. Isn't that the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but Thy will. And then you know what? Here's the ironclad promise. He will share His will. It's not, God doesn't play hide and go seek with His will. He's waiting on you and He's waiting on me to see if we're going to be willing and open to what He wants you to do. It was God's will for Diana and I to come home. We didn't want to leave Waynesboro, Tennessee. We had it going on down there. Diana was the queen of Waynesboro. Now, you know she was married to the king, right? But we didn't want to leave. Our grandkids are still there. My son's there. He liked it so much, he left Clarksville and went back down there. Sometimes God's will is hard, but you don't want to know what? I've been blessed by the will of God being back home. I've reconnected with hundreds of people that I grew up with. Some of them are sitting in the sanctuary right now. God's will is pleasing to you. And I didn't realize this, but since I've been here, we've been able to minister to our aging parents. We had my mama's funeral service right here, her memorial service. Diana's stepmom. We were able to, I could just go on and on about these things. Quit asking God what His will is and just tell Him, my kingdom's got to go so Your kingdom can come. I'm open to whatever You want me to do, however many days I got left. I wish y'all could have heard Dick Little. I've said this to the deacons this morning. I wish y'all could have heard Dick Littleton's testimony Wednesday night. Y'all are missing out on Wednesday night. I mean, we're having some fabulous prayer meetings. Aren't we, Tommy and Tony? Yes. That wasn't very believable, y'all. Come on. We're having some fabulous prayer meetings. And Dick's testimony basically said, he talked about being an athlete, you know, growing up, and got to talking about the fourth quarter, and you really, it's game on when you get to the fourth quarter. Most of the time, you got to be all in. And he said, spiritually, I'm in the fourth quarter. And he said, man, I'm all in. I want to be all in. It was fabulous. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. It got me. And then I said, well, you may be in the fourth quarter. I think I'm in overtime. God's will is so pleasing. It'll meet your every need. You'll be so glad that you surrendered to Him. Here's the last thing. Let's go back to Romans 12. Y'all with me still? Y'all hadn't packed up and left because I asked you to come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, have you? Okay. I'm going to keep hammering at y'all. I understand. I'm like a broken record. But I know where the power comes from. I've seen it happen. And when we get to be a praying church, when we fill this place up on Wednesday nights, I guarantee you what's going to happen then. The Holy Ghost is going to fall. And it's going to be game on. And by the way, well, I'll go back to that after I read this. God's just keep putting the text together. He says, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect. Does it get any better than perfect? Hello? Does it get any better than perfect? No, it doesn't get any better than perfect. That's what God's will is for us. What His plan, what His purpose is. It's perfect. Whew. And I don't understand what God's doing, but He ain't called me to understand everything. He just called me to be obedient to what He calls me to do. That's all any of us can do. Because you'll never figure out God. Now, He might give you a little understanding along the way about why you went through something. But He's got a bigger, better purpose for you than you've got for yourself. And you need to get in on that. Because it is His perfect providential will for you. Now, let's go back to Jeremiah one last time and we're done. Jeremiah 29:14. Oh, I'm sorry. Turn right in your Bible about three pages to Jeremiah 33. This is our theme verse for the year. And when I read verses 12 and 13, Jeremiah 33:3 jumped out at me. Here's what it says. Are y'all ready for this? Somebody up in here is going to get it. Call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Is that not the bottom line this morning? Hallelujah. If we'll pray and seek His face and we'll go looking for God and seeking God with all of our heart, He will not only listen, He will hear. And then He'll show us things that we don't know anything about. One of those things is His perfect will for our lives. Whew. You see how this is fitting together? I didn't have a clue when I was putting all this stuff together about Jeremiah 33:3, how that would fit into this, but it does, doesn't it? I said it does, doesn't it?
Yes.
All you longtime Baptists, it does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now look at verse 14. In Jeremiah 29. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, this primarily is a promise to the nation of Israel, but some of the truths in here apply to the family of God, to the church. And God's will for the Israelites was perfect. They had to endure God's judgment because there's consequences for sin. But after 70 years, God brought them home. And there were some fabulous priests and prophets and some great men and women of God that helped rebuild the temple. You need to get to know Nehemiah. And they rebuilt the temple. And then Ezra helped them to restore worship and the sacrificial system. And then they restored and renewed and rebuilt really the holy city of God. Because you see, the temple and all of that was the center of Jewish life. And so all of that came back to fruition, just like God said it would. And today, keep your eyes on Israel. Now, they're secular. Israel, by far, is secular. They're not... But God's not done with them. And He's still bringing people, Jewish folks, back to the Holy Land. Back to Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. And you keep your eye on Israel. And we had better be a blessing and a friend to Israel. That's what the Word of God tells us. God always keeps His promises. And His will is always perfect. It fits perfectly. I always try to come up with some kind of moving illustration, you know, at the end of the sermons. But I'm gonna give you something I've used before. Now, your pastor is weird. I'm different. I understand that. But hallelujah, I'd be the best Cal Hampton on the planet. I spend a lot of time in graveyards, cemeteries. You know why? Well, my mind, as soon as I pull up in a graveyard, I begin to think, you know what? Soon, very soon, a lot of these graves are going to open up and give forth the Christian dead. We're probably going to have, it's Easter's coming, we're probably going to have another sunrise service. There wasn't one amen. I guess I'll be the only one there. But there's something special about a graveyard. And you pull up in there and you start thinking about all this stuff. And I pulled up at Greenwood Cemetery where my mom and dad are buried a few days ago. And just got to praying. And I got to looking around and I was reminded again, most of those tombstones, those that aren't just 300 years old, you can read the birth date and the death date on them. Now, some of them, you know, have a spouse that's already died and the other spouse is still alive and they don't have her or his death date yet. You understand what I'm saying? But for the most part, all those tombstones have a birth date and a death date. And what's in between? A hyphen. And a hyphen is symbolic of the kind of life that you lived, the way you lived. But one of these days, I know you didn't come to hear this, but that hyphen is going to come to an end and you're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. What do you want people to be saying about you when you've moved off the hyphen? What will people think? What will they say? What kind of person were you? How many lives did you touch? What did you do for the Lord? That's what they'll be talking about. And they'll go back to some silly fellowship hall and eat potato salad in your honor. But what do you want that hyphen to represent? I found 1 John 2:17. He who does the will of God abides forever. That's what I want my hyphen to say. He who does the will of God abides forever. Well, brothers and sisters, it's decision time. And dozens of us in here need to surrender. We need to surrender our bodies to the Lord. We need to surrender our minds to the Lord and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we need to pray and seek God with all of our effort, with all of our heart. And if you'll do those things this morning, you know what? You'll leave here knowing the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. Isn't that what you want? But it comes through surrender. It comes through surrender. And by the way, for those of you that don't have a relationship with Christ, and y'all, our churches are full of lost folks. You do know that, don't you? Just because your name's on a roll doesn't mean you're on your way to heaven. Jesus is the only one that saves. And if you don't have a story of salvation about how he saved you, you don't have to have the date down, but you better know that you've been saved. And here's the deal. God wants you to be that way. 2 Peter 3:9 says, it's not God's will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. And so if you're here this morning, it's one of two things. If you're a believer, are you going to be willing to surrender your will to His will? Not my will, Father, but thy will. And number two, if you're not absolutely sure about your relationship with Christ, this morning, you need to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I believe in my heart of hearts, you've spoken to people all over this building about their relationship with you and trying to understand what it is your will is for their life. and especially their daily life. And your words told us how we can have that. But you're a gentleman, and you're not going to crash that door down to our heart. We've got to let you in. We've got to come after you with our whole heart, and we will. We'll find you, and we'll find your will. Those of you that are here, we've had very few people at the altar the last 3 weeks in a season of response. But I want to tell you, God has a will for your life, and He's got a will for your family. And I want to ask you, if you want God's will and you're ready to completely surrender the things that we've been talking about, I want to ask you to just go after God with all of your heart today and surrender to Him. And that may entail getting up out of the seat and coming here so we can pray over you and pray for you. There's something special about an old-fashioned altar. It's a place to lay your burdens down and to let go of whatever that's keeping you from God's best. And by all means, if you're here today and you've never been saved and baptized, that's God's will for your life. And you're saying no to that? Oh, don't let the devil lie to you any longer. Make today the day of salvation. Father, You've heard my prayer. Our dear people have heard my prayer. And this is my heart's desire, God, and I know it's Your desire. It's got to be that everyone in this place would surrender our all to Jesus. In His name we pray. Don't even wait. Just get up out of your seat right now before we start singing. That's right. Just come on all over the building. Just come on and we'll pray for you. I promise. Prayer warriors, y'all be ready to pray. Just get up. Let's stand. Y'all come on right now. Just come on. If you need Jesus, come. If you need a fresh surrender, come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.